You're listening to Jonathan Moore on Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51. Jonathan Moore live in the Studio 51 Elm Street WNHS-FM. It's Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51, New Haven's home for community radio, WNHH-FM. Jonathan Moore, thank you so much for coming into our studio to play today. Yeah, if you mind, you don't mind just pulling the mic over so we can chat.
There we go. Shoot, my little technical difficulties for the beginning, but I still know how to play.
You sure do know how to play. You are a cellist, a local musician for now, but you're definitely making tracks, and you told me you're able to make a living as a professional musician. You grew up in New Haven.
Yes, definitely.
And your axe is your cello.
Yes, this is.
If you mind just getting much closer to the mic, if you don't mind, so I can hear you.
So, hear me now?
You know, so a lot of people, if a guitarist comes, they say, brought the axe. If a saxophone player comes in, they say, I brought my horn.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring your cello, what do you say?
Shoot, I don't know. I just say cello.
You've been playing the cello since you were 13 years old.
Actually, 11. Actually, 10. 10 years old. I started out in fifth grade. So I went to Betsy Ross Art Magnet School, New Haven, where Miss Cosgrove was my teacher. Fortunately, she passed away, but she definitely left a gift, you know, that seed of playing the string instruments onto me. So now, you know, even though she's resting, she's still alive, you know, just through me.
When you play, that's beautiful. Were you playing cello before Miss Cosgrove said, here, check this out?
No, not at all. But I was still musically inclined, so I was playing the drums. So
you grew up in a house of musicians?
Yes.
In New Haven?
West Haven.
West Haven.
Yep.
And what? Tell me about that. Was it people who played in bands? Was it people in gospel?
Gospel. Shoot. I have a whole family bloodline of musicians.
And you guys like the Monk family? Do you all perform together or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Pretty much my whole family is musically inclined. So ever since I was born, I had no choice but to, you know, learn an instrument. So either learn an instrument or play a sport. You know, both my father and my mother are musicians. So
professionally?
Yes, professionally.
What do they play?
So my mother is a gospel recording artist, and my father is a bass player, known all over, you know, the New England
area. What are their names? Willie Joe?
That's my uncle.
Okay. Willie Joe plays bass too, right?
Yep. Yeah, he played all.
He's good.
Yeah.
I've heard him perform many times.
Yep, those are my uncles. My father's name is George Moore. My mother's name is Lucinda Moore.
All right. So you kind of knew you'd be a musician.
Yeah.
You know, cello is an interesting instrument. It's not the typical one. Actually, when I was in elementary school, they had me learn it for a while. I found it a little heavy to carry around. But
yeah, because it's just straight wood, you know?
And it's not as big as a bass, but it's big.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like about the cello? When Miss Cosgrove showed you the cello, what is it that hit you about the instrument?
It was definitely the sound. I love the low notes. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really a fan of the high notes, like the violin, the violas. I was like, I don't like it. I still appreciate it, though.
I think the cello's emerged, if I'm not wrong, in a lot of genres now. It's coming to play a key role, whether it's even R&B, whether it's folk and bluegrass. People really moving there from the bass. And tell me if this is far field, Jonathan, in your view. I love the cello.
Yes.
I think it's a very soulful instrument. I think it has that kind of depth of a bass, but depth is much more of a rhythm instrument, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it doesn't go as high as the violin or viola, but you're able to play those lyrical high notes that kind of give you a melody.
Right.
But it's sort of grounded in the lower depth ranges of a bass. Is that true, do you think?
Yes, that's completely true. I think the comparison is that the cello is as close to a human instrument, like singing. So
tell me about that.
Pretty much, you can go very high with the cello. And then you can go very low, pretty much similar to a bass. So the range of the instrument is so well put together, you know, mm-hmm. You can just travel.
Like, did it immediately take? Because your fingers were smaller in those days. I mean, when you were 10 years old, you say, I could play this, I kind of found my jam? Or did it take a while to?
Actually, my hands was kind of bigger than normally. So Ms. Cosgrove, she was like, yeah, you're going to need a full, like, size instrument.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now I think about it, I'm like, man, I was pretty much made for this.
Okay.
So
now, you call what you do not unorthodox cello.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Pretty much using different techniques that a normal traditional cellist, you know, wouldn't use. Like, okay, why is he hitting that instrument like that? And so a lot of people, they're like a little confused. So it's all about breaking the barriers. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm about is breaking the
barriers. So what are some things you do with it that you don't usually hear on a cello?
Well, if you ever heard of Bootsy Collins,
yes.
Do you see how he slaps his bass and
and
also the sound? It's like a rubber band. So, you know, you try to do that at an orchestra and see what will happen. They're going to be like, hey, what are you playing?
That's it. What else do you do? Like, I notice you use, and this is something I don't know much about because I'm not a musician, where you use loops. You start playing.
Yes.
It's usually a rhythmic track.
Right.
You play it live. You press the button. That keeps playing. Then you play on top of that. Sort of like a one-man band. A lot of musicians do that.
Yes.
Is that done often with cello? Have you seen other people do that?
It's been common. So it's starting to get, you know, popular. There are a few cellists that you know, do the loop station. What I'm using is a Boss RC600. So, like you said, it, you know, you record one layer, then that will play back, and you can record as many layers as you want.
How long do you usually go?
What do you mean by that?
How many layers do you usually put in a piece?
As much as I can. Not too much to the point where you don't even know what's playing, but a balance of probably maybe 6 to 12.
And you do what a rock or folk person does, where first you're thinking the rhythm. You want to lay down the rhythm with the first loop, and then you want to improvise on top of that, or no?
Yes. Truthfully, I can go both ways, so I can reverse that. So certain times.
A theme melody first.
Yep, definitely a theme melody first sometimes. And other times, just let's go right to the percussive parts, you know?
And you do all original compositions?
Yep, all original compositions.
And you studied at Co-op High School?
Yes.
One of our great success stories there. That's why we have Co-op High School, right?
Yes.
Then you went to Southern to the music plan?
Yes.
Okay, what was that first piece called?
That first piece is just called Introduction.
Mm-hmm.
I like to always start out let's say I have a concert. I always start my concert with the introduction.
So it's improvising?
Yep.
You didn't come with something planned on that?
Uh, that's the thing. Certain times, there's still a structure to it, but I still have the free form to go anywhere I want with that.
And do you see yourself in any genre? When I heard you online, I was hearing classical, I was hearing R&B. Am I right? How do you view it?
Shoot, I don't even know. I just like what I like.
Have you studied classical? Have you studied jazz?
Yes, yes. I had no choice but to study the classical, classical genres. And with that, I also had to study funk outside and gospel outside of the schools. And so everything is just a mix. So I didn't just learn one thing all at once. So I learned multiple genres of music at the same time.
And you do all original compositions?
Yes, I do all original compositions. I believe that we should start creating new songs. You know, it's cool to play covers. And I know a lot of artists that play, you know, covers and all of that on live stages. But at the same time, it limits what you can truly do and what you can truly make. And a lot of people just want to see new. So that's what I'm trying to give the audience, is a new experience and a new song.
All right, a new experience and a new song. So is your machine working? You could be able to loop? Or was it not functioning?
It should be able to work. Let me do a quick sound check. If that's
quick check, and I'll just remind people that they're listening to Thursdays, at Studio 51. We're here at 51 Elm Street, the studios of WNHHFM, New Haven's home for community radio. And we're lucky to have the talented Jonathan Moore here, not with his axe, not with his horn, but with his cello, playing original compositions. And he's doing a little equipment check, because one thing I found when I listened to him online, I really love his music, is the way he adds layer upon layer by looping, and he's just making sure that that's functioning well. We're starting to do this weekly at the WNHHFM, having people in our tiny, 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 tiny desk performing, and we're also going to be starting on Tuesdays at Mediterranean Restaurant with some live bands. Going to maybe kick up the volume for those and have a little more complicated sound check than the one we're doing now. Checking in. Last week we had MJ Bones, who played on ukulele. So it is interesting to me that a number of the original songwriters in town now are doing some more interesting music, are not just playing guitar or piano, but going for new music on new tools. How's that looking? All right, we're going to go for it. What's the second piece called, Jonathan?
The second piece is called, not Journey, the second piece is called Glory.
Glory.
Yes.
All right. Jonathan Moore doing Glory on WNHHFM. Glory, Jonathan Moore, and Acoustic Thursday, Studio 51 at WNHHFM. That was a beautiful piece. Have you ever heard Pat Metheny? Does that name ring a bell?
I've never heard of him.
He was like a jazz, kind of free jazz composer of the 70s and 80s. It was kind of his big day. But that kind of made me think of that. Tell me about that song. How'd you come up with that?
Well, Glory is based upon the creation of everything that you see. I'm not very religious, but I am spiritual, so I believe in Jesus Christ as my savior. So when I look at the stars and the moon and the flowers, everything that you see, you know, we have 9-to-5s and life is just busy and hectic, but yet people don't realize what you're walking, you know, what you're really seeing. Like, if you ever see the design of how ants make an ant colony and
I talk
all that
about
others,
that at the office.
Yeah.
When they get the chicken bone and bring it all back.
like you see all of this design and I'm just like, geez, God is man, you're a mastermind. So
for some reason I was just that song, I was thinking of a misty kind of wetland where it's been kind of raining or if there's dew there.
Yeah,
the branches are hanging low and there's like a pond or something.
It's based upon all of that. Even the rain, the mist, the dew, the grass.
Definitely had that ethereal feeling. That makes you wonder about nature.
Yes. And
talk about intelligent design.
Yes, and just the intelligent design and the designer, you know.
So you had a chord progression going there.
Yes.
And then you lay that down and then in between you were playing the notes. I noticed you didn't loop.
Yeah.
Was there a reason?
It's pretty much because there's a technical difficulty.
Okay, so because I know normally you play that, you would have
laid
down those chords and then you would have played the leads on top. So what I noticed you doing is you're doing the chord progressions low to set the bass, and then when you were playing the notes in between, you were plucking them harder.
Yep.
So you were pivoting. You were improvising not just the music. You were improvising how to play when your equipment failed.
Yep. You always have to be ready. being a live musician, things happen. So that's something that I learned within my 18, 19 years of playing cello. So what I was always taught, just keep going. That's all. Don't freeze up or, you know, don't make any, you know, faces or anything like that. Keep it cool. You're a live musician. People are listening. So, and people are watching.
And people aren't that interesting in what isn't working. They're interested in what kind of sound you can bring
right.
form, right?
And what sound that...
How did it change the way you played that song?
Truthfully, it's a matter of practice.
No, I mean, when you were here in the studio and you realized, okay, this isn't working, I gotta do something. I'm not going to say this isn't working because I'm a musician. I'm going to keep it cool and keep going. What did you do different there?
I truly just played the melody, the main chords into the song and, just walked my way through there. So,
but am I right that normally you would have just been playing the chords, you would have put it on the loop, stop playing the chords, and on top of that, you would have weaved the melody into it?
Yep. So I would use my bow for other types of, you know, ideas. And
so we kind of missed out there.
Yeah. That's why you have to come to the live shows.
Okay. where's the next live show?
So the next live show is in Symphony Space in New York, New York.
Stephanie Space?
Symphony Space.
Oh, where is that?
So that would be on 96th Street, I believe, and Broadway.
So, and you will be playing that piece, you think?
No, completely not. Oh. This is actually a Prince tribute.
Oh, my goodness.
So
you definitely need the loops for that.
Yes. And what's crazy is I talked about doing covers. You know, this is literally like one of my first times actually doing a cover. Mm-hmm. So, you know, live in an audience. So... not only will I be playing, there will also be a dancer named Drew that will be pretty much giving you the Prince experience. So
how long is that performance?
So that one's just going to be a 5 to 7 minute piece because there are other artists.
Well, they're all doing Prince?
Yes, this is all
Prince. Which piece are you doing?
Woo! So this one, it's going to be a little mixture.
Okay, you're doing a medley.
So it's going to be Little Red Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
Bat Dance and America.
So you can be going with the rhythm at the beginning.
It's going to be a new experience.
How about around here? How can people find out about your music? How can they learn more about you?
So pretty much you can follow me on Instagram at more_than_talent. I also have a YouTube channel. You can also follow me or subscribe to that. You can also Google me too for upcoming events and dates. Just type in Jonathan Morcello and you will see all of my videos, all of my dates.
Jonathan is H-A-N-A-T-H-A-N.
Yep.
That name is spelled so many different ways.
Yes. You know why that's a little confusing? Because my birth certificate was J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, but my social security is J-O-H-N. So, yeah.
Because you keep it cool. You kind of flow and the things change, right?
Yeah,
you improvise.
Yes. I'm just like, all right, I could go either way.
And when is the Symphony Space performance?
That would be May 4th.
May 4th. Okay, well, I got John. It was such a pleasure to meet you.
Same to you.
And watch you pivoting to what equipment's letting you do and not do.
That's all right.
Thanks for joining us on Acoustic Thursday on WNHH. Why don't you do? Can you do another piece first before you leave?
Oh, yes.
What's the last one going to be?
This one's going to be Beautiful Dreams. We're going to get down to funky on this one.
Beautiful Dreams. Yep. Okay. Till next time, WNHHFM. Thank you, Jonathan Moore. Harry Droz behind the controls. Doreen Chernecki doing backup on the video. And till next time, and fly free with us at WNHH 103.5.
Peace.
And peace.